Hi everyone, this is Tony Holbein from Groblox. You are listening to The Revenue Formula with Mikkel and Tony. In today's episode, we get into full funnel visibility, why it's the number one problem we get asked about, and what you can do if you've got that problem as well. Enjoy.
So I had yesterday, we had dinner, all good, and then it's shower time for the kids.
Is it what, yesterday? Mondays.
Literally, Monday. You know, when we don't have any intros, we just default to kids. That's safe passage.
I was also, my kid puked at me. Should we do that?
But I literally had to shower two kids at the same time. And before I could do it, I had to change the diaper. And, you also want to then throw out the diaper, wash your hands while you're filling up the bathtub, while you're getting them undressed, and there's like so many things happening at the same time.
And you skipped one step and then there was poop in the bathtub.
But it's literally like, on one hand, I was holding my daughter who was like 1 foot down with all her clothes on. Yeah. And my eldest daughter, she like brought a massive toy that she wanted to bring in. I mean, it was such a mess. I guess I should have seen it coming. It always works. Kids it's always the perfect segue.
No, I mean, whatever we're going to do in terms of topics, kids will be a segue, like for sure.
That's what it is. But as you have seen it coming, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about visibility for go-to-market teams. And there's a reason for that. Lately, you and I, we've been having lots of conversation on, I mean, especially messaging, but that also means what are folks saying to us, what challenges are they surfacing to us?
That might be a completely other episode also. Like, you know, we had Anthony Pieri on the show and he taught us all about messaging, and we should do like and by the way, this is our messaging journey for everyone that's interested.
but one of the things we hear all the time is, you know, we just don't have enough visibility.
Yes,
we don't have visibility. And you know, the weird thing is, that can mean a lot of things.
So it means a lot of things for a lot of people. And I think a lot of people, when you say that, they might respond back, oh, but I have visibility because of my spreadsheet and this BI and the Salesforce report and stuff. But the funny thing is, once people then sometimes engage with us, like, oh, what you're really solving is visibility. And it's like, tear it out. But and that's why visibility is maybe, you know, messaging wise, and I'm not sure we're going to leave this in here, but messaging wise is like a little bit too simplistic, which can be good, can be bad. But really, I think where some of the need for this emerged for me personally was actually, and I'm not quite sure if at that time I was a senior RevOps person that was very identifying with the sales targets, maybe also because I had very big chunks of commission riding on the sales target.
You had an incentive to monitor.
Yeah. Or if it came from me having been elevated to a CRO and just being paranoid for my paycheck in general.
Yeah.
So basically, I think paranoia, you know, if you sum me up, I think in that list of wonderful things, there will be one dark corner and section that is, Tony didn't sleep enough because of the kids.
Yeah.
And it's a shit mood today. And then the other side is paranoia, right?
And he didn't sleep.
And also, you know, this is like it's a downward spiral. I think actually as revenue leaders, it's kind of part of your job to be paranoid, to be honest. Yeah. I think that's part of it. And that translates for sales leaders to call BS on deals, for marketing leaders to be like, this campaign, I'm not sure if it's going to work out, and so forth, right? So this is really kind of a risk management kind of.
Yeah.
And the way I approach this whole, I need to know today, basically was by trying to build something out that aligned with my revenue targets. And we don't want to talk about go-to-market data modeling, all of that stuff. But basically, that gave me the ability to see as early as possible when there's something going wrong that would have an impact on revenue.
Yeah.
I wanted to know it as soon as fucking possible. And those things theoretically could be your ad spend isn't tracking in the right direction. So this is like really far up the funnel, right? Your ad spend isn't tracking in the right direction. That might have a knock-on effect and over several steps with delays and delays and delays.
Yeah.
To your revenue, right? And maybe that gives you 3 or 6 months time. It might be your cost per lead is going up. Suddenly you spend all the budget, but you don't get enough leads. So that will have a trickle effect. It could be that your strong website traffic channels aren't working as well anymore, and that will, you know. And on the outbound side, it was how many hiring conversations did we have? How many I was signed? When are these guys starting? How's ramp up going? And so forth, right? All of these early indicators, I wanted to know if we're on track to do what we needed to do in order to hit the revenue target. And as soon as I could see something not working out, it basically kind of gave me, and then by default, the rest of the organization, some time to react, some time to course correct, right? And it also gave me the opportunity to try and communicate outwards. And so like, hey, you know, I see this thing happening in, I think Q2 will be tough because of X, Y, and Z reason, right? If you can say that in February, that's job security, right?
Yeah.
At least that's what I thought. You know, long story short, I think the way we kind of tried and solve all of these things by cobbling together, you know, some logic in a spreadsheet, some graphs in a BI dashboard, maybe some trend lines and stuff. But that was basically kind of a way for us to get some of the visibility going, because honestly, you know, it wasn't enough to just see how many opportunities did we create today or yesterday or for the month to date or in the quarter. It's like, well, how many are we expecting to still generate? And is that actually living up to the target that we need to hit in order to hit the revenue target, right? Kind of that was basically the kind of visibility I was looking for.
Yeah. No, and it's funny, we talked just a few minutes before pressing record. And I kind of reflected, well, I used to check, and I still do to this day, I check the numbers every morning. That's the first thing when I open the laptop, just to see, well, how are things going? And when I was running a big team in marketing back in the day, it was literally to see the things we've delivered, are they also delivering the outcomes we need, right? Mm. And I think there's a weird disconnect sometimes when you look at a dashboard, it is a snapshot of today. And you might see that, hey, we're behind on MQLs, but we're actually on track on opportunities, and we're on track to hit our MR goal. So is it really a problem? And sometimes that was really difficult actually to quite frankly, to disseminate and understand, which was super frustrating.
Yes. And I think what many people are doing, and you know, spreadsheets and BI probably kind of rings, you know, alarm bells or rings true with many people right now, right? Kind of because that's usually how people kind of go about this. The other coping mechanism, and I call it a coping mechanism that I started seeing is, and I did the same thing, you're doing the same thing, by the way, is because of the sheer amount of stuff happening in go-to-market, you'll create rules of thumb for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Mental models.
It's like, if we, in this week or per day, generate 30 opportunities.
Yeah, exactly.
We're on track.
Yeah, that's right? Exactly it.
You basically kind of, you simmer the whole thing down. You're trying to simplify it further and further down, and then kind of have one thing you hold on to that you look at per day instead of looking at everything else around it, right? Yeah. And this is, I think, by the way, that works. Don't get me wrong. I think this is how we humans are wired. But it's kind of not up to snuff of, you know, what your go-to-market by now requires.
I think it also becomes more of intuition to some degree when you apply that approach versus actually being data-driven around it, right? So the thing is, we kind of talked a bit about it by now, you know, CEOs, they really worry about GTM execution. This was part of an OpenView benchmark report. This is the biggest concern.
I think it was OpenView. Right. It was OpenView.
And the teams have plenty of dashboards, but there's still no visibility, right? So some of the challenges it creates. Let's get into that.
Yeah. So, and let's just say the first one is kind of it's a symptom.
Yeah.
Actually, you get surprised. Stuff is happening that you didn't realize would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And usually the surprise comes when everything is being tallied up at the end of the quarter.
Yeah. And it's at the very end.
and the numbers with the dollar signs attached don't add up.
Yeah.
That's usually the surprise. And then usually, obviously, what then happens is, whose fault is it? Well, sales team. It's the sales team. They, you know, they had those leads. They didn't do anything with it. You know, they're lazy. You know, how many can we fire? Right? Yeah. Kind of, it's usually, which in good times, it's, oh, wow, why did we overhit? Well, it's just a stellar sales team.
Yeah.
Why are you growing so much? Well, you know, those sales guys are just the top of the crop.
They're doing self-prospecting and everything is just...
And then, you know, when the story has to flip, then they're going to say something about the salespeople. But it's just not true, actually. It probably is somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you can pin it on the salespeople, then, you know, in your own head, and also when you then, you know, create a narrative around it. I mean, you can BS... All boards, by the way, most of the boards. That's why they don't care about the narrative anymore. They just care, you know, just give me the fucking numbers.
Yeah.
But you can create a narrative around salespeople being the culprit by and therefore then getting outside of this like surprise thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh well, it's the salespeople, and you know, we didn't know until the very end.
You know what? I'm not surprised. I've been shadowing Greg for two demos, and
yes,
I don't like what I see.
And the problem is because your focus is so limited.
Yeah.
And again, that's a heuristic. That's a rule of thumb, right? Yeah. Kind of you work with that. You suddenly don't look at, well, wait a minute. What happened up the funnel? What happened in this segment versus that? What happened with this rep versus that rep? And that's, you know, this is where you could have gotten the early indicators that something was going to happen.
Yeah.
And thus you wouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah.
Right. So I think this is where, this is for me is kind of a symptom actually of, yes, I have visibility in the sense that I can see all the deals and I can see all the reps and they're sitting there and over there. But not visibility in the sense of like, actually I'm in control, so to speak.
Yeah.
Of the football time. Right.
But I think it's also like, you will probably see in some cases throughout the quarter that some of the metrics, they aren't where they should be. Mm-hmm. Because of the target. And obviously most companies have done some kind of revenue model plan in the background to set up those targets. So they have a good idea that if we make those numbers before closed one, we'll hit our revenue target, right? And I think sometimes the challenge becomes you'll see a metric, let's say MQL, and it's behind, and you don't know when that problem is going to hit you and how hard. And then you put in a lot of resources to fix it. And that might not be the thing you should even focus on.
Yeah, no, exactly. So this is really then this whole topic around the solution might not be where the problem is.
Exactly.
And again, you see a miss on MQLs. And how big of a problem is this really? That needs to be the first question. And this ties into this a little bit. There's usually the ability to do some kind of a root cause missing. Because it could be that you're under-hitting on MQLs. In the positive scenario, it might be that the whole gap is driven, you know, when you drill in, is driven by you didn't get enough webinar or event leads.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? They don't convert anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's like, and why do we not have enough event leads? Well, you know, someone canceled the event.
Yeah.
So that's why.
We had to rein in the costs.
Yes. So, you know, and it could be that your revenue tracking is full bang on perfect because the real money makers, the demo requests are rolling in as per usual, right? So you don't even know if it has a positive or negative impact, by the way.
Yeah.
And then you try and kind of counter the measure. And the problem then is, well, that might maybe lead to us hitting the MQL target this quarter, but where does it leave us actually in terms of revenue, right? And this is again, right? This is again where sales and marketing suddenly start hating each other.
Yeah.
Because on the last day, and I've seen this happen, and under my own watch also, on the last day of the quarter, marketing suddenly uploads a couple of leads which they found somewhere in the drawer. And MQL target hit.
Yeah.
But obviously, those didn't have time to process. Let's just say they're good leads. They didn't have time to process and hit, you know, revenue. So marketing high fives on the MQL achievement.
Yeah.
While sales falls flat, right? So this timing aspect there then also isn't part of the consideration.
Yeah, I mean, it's super difficult. And when you look at most of the insights companies have, it's kind of limited how deep it goes at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
So you might have visibility into different markets. Maybe you're lucky and you have segments, but do you have different sources? Do you have different sizes? Do you have different...
I think it's even simpler than this actually, right? So because we have like... hey, you need to be able to split it and so forth, right? Actually, the thing for most folks out there is less so on, I also want to split into EMEA. I also want to split into those segments. I also want to split into whatever. That is there for sure. But what's actually much more simple is, yes, you do have a number of, you want to hit 1,000 MQLs this quarter. You have that number. Or you break it down by month. I don't care. But what you don't have is once you scratch the surface and drill one level in, you don't have a clear understanding, okay, was it 500 demo requests and 500 webinars?
Yeah.
Or was it 250 demo requests and 750 webinars? How does the 1K actually break down? And similarly, you know, if you wanted to add that, you wouldn't have that also for you as resume.
Yeah.
So why does that matter? It matters when you realize you're going to be 10 behind on MQLs.
Yeah.
And you want to know why. Because the CRO is going to ask the marketing leader, okay, 10%, so you're failing, but tell me why. You know, because that is the first step in order to fix it, right? And then what's going to happen is you're going to drill in and you see, oh, you have 400 demos and 300 webinars. But what was the original expectation, actually?
Yeah.
You know, you don't know. You simply don't know. So it's really hard to say then, are we behind demos? Are we behind webinars? What's actually the reason?
Yeah.
You probably only had the blended conversion rate that sits overall on the MQLs. So all of that stuff to figure out where you're red, where you're green, even if you go just one level down. So this is usually where the visibility stops, right? And really that drill down then usually leads to additional questions you will need to ask people that is not yourself.
Yeah.
Right? So the next thing is you then need to go to, I don't know, someone to pull you like an export from Salesforce, or to you go to the data guys like, hey, can we split this, drill it into this instead of that? Because on Looker, I don't know how to flip those dimensions around. And you know, that usually is what then kind of impedes you to actually get to the root cause.
And then you're going to be met with, you know what? The VP sales has a really urgent request about some commission stuff. Yeah. Let me do that first.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks, is that okay?
So, and then, I mean, to just exasperate the whole thing, yeah. It kind of goes a little bit, you know, let's just say you do trust the initial data.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're probably going to hit the, not miss the MQL piece, and you trust that that's true. Well, first of all, that's not the case in all cases, right? There's lots of, you know, data mistrust going on, especially if it's in a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Especially if it's some BI thing that no one looks at. But the other thing is actually also when you then did the root cause and you tally everything up again, guess what? The number's not going to match. So you don't need anyone else to point out that there's a data problem here. You know that yourself. And, you know, what usually then happens, and I know you and I have been there, it's like, close enough.
Yeah. I'll accept it.
It's kind of close enough. Or let's go with this
one. Or you present it with, just so you know, there's an error margin.
Yeah.
And then you pray and hope they don't ask how big. And it's like 30%. Yeah. But really, so.
So that's kind of the thing, right?
But I think that it's also kind of to maybe sum up some of the things, you know, with the symptoms and what we've heard. Really, what folks then struggle with is they become super reactive.
Yeah.
They don't know which thing to actually react to. And, you know, back to the problem you're solving, is that actually the one you should be solving in the first place? And then they're unable to be proactive in a lot of cases in the first place, because you're unable to say, you know, back to me and my MQL forecast, and I can see, hey, I'm probably going to miss by this trajectory I'm on.
So, but I think that little side comment deserves a little bit of a double click, because what I've learned, you know, myself, I never look at a graph and be like, ah, okay, today we're here. And I was, okay, now I have the information I need and walk away. In my head, what I do all the time, I try and extend the line and see where we're actually going to end. Because I don't really care what my month to date number is.
No.
I care about where it's going to be, right? So it's, if someone listening has a good word for that, you would be, no, please tell us. But it's not monitoring, because monitoring is kind of what you do on the past and the current stuff. It's actually monitoring of a projected number.
Just stop.
Versus the actual plan. And that, no, but in everyone's mind's eye, everyone is looking at those graphs.
Yeah.
It's like, where does this thing end? How big is the fucking gap going to be?
Yeah.
And that, you know, once you see there's a larger gap than you, I don't know, feel comfy with.
Yeah.
That gives you proactivity, right? Yeah. Kind of just like, oh, there's something not going in the right direction. So kind of let's jump in.
No, I mean, you can see that it fundamentally changes the conversation that you have, right? Right now we're having this conversation, funny enough, in our team, because we've set a really big goal for one of our initiatives. And we could just see if we just forward project how we're performing and we add the initiatives we planned, there's still a pretty big gap. So yes, those improvement things, they need to happen early. But what are we fundamentally going to do differently? We have to do something very different in order to get to where we want to go.
Yeah.
And that's a very different conversation. And you need to be able to have those. And if you don't have the foresight, quite frankly, that's going to be really difficult.
And I think this is what we would probably call more of a planning motion. I think that's okay. I think once we're going to be 2 or 3 months into this initiative, and we're going to sit there and it's like, hey, you know, we still have X to go.
Yeah.
At that point, will we know if we're kind of on track or not? Yeah, because it's not always just a linear thing, no. Right? Some of these things kind of are just slated to be later. Anyway, there's some complications with these.
But I think it's also just like, in this conversation, it could be easy to say, well, the target is the target. We'll think about it next quarter. It's like, no. We actually need to get moving now, my friend. So, some of the outcomes here we riffed on is you basically get less predictability.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, right? You get, you won't have that repeatable, predictable success that you need in order to grow, in order to raise the next round and so on. And this is all stemming from visibility, right? So we kind of ran through some scenarios and some symptoms of that.
But I think for everyone listening, kind of now it's clear, like, well, you know, yes, I can see my Salesforce report.
Yeah.
And I have visibility there. Yeah. My eyes don't hurt. I can actually see it. But that is different visibility from what you actually need in order to kind of run the go-to-market engine. They're kind of different layers to this thing. And that's, I think, what we kind of tried to outline almost with this.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get into a little bit of a solution mode, right? And we could, and I think the avid listener has already picked up, like, oh, you know, Tony and Mikkel, they're talking about Growblocks. Kind of get it.
Well, when aren't we?
But what we want to do today is actually to walk through, you know, what is a DIY, do-it-yourself solution potentially here? You know, what things could you cobble together? And this is really also something that we have done that in the past, right? Kind of it's the only, and when we really look out there, this is what 99.9% of people are doing right now, because obviously lack of alternative, which we have solved with this company. Yeah. But instead of jumping into all of that stuff, right? I think the first step is you need to find a way to, the first step is you need to agree with a methodology of what Winning by Design calls the bow tie.
Mm.
That's the first step, right? So really several different volume steps that are tied together by processing steps, conversion rates, time delays, and then, you know, ACVs and so forth, right? That's kind of the first step. Okay, so like, okay, you know what? And the time that you will buy into this is when you flick over and become a revenue factory. Early days, trust me, that's just not the case. You will be sitting there, it's like, no, it's actually kind of this sales guy being lucky.
Yeah.
And that's true. That's the case in the beginning. But eventually, you know, once you cross the 10 million mark, that's when you will realize, you know, you're a couple of feet detached from the day-to-day operation. Yeah. You will look and it's like, wait a minute, there's some structure to this chaos here.
I guess a good sign is we hired 5 SDRs and they booked the same amount of meetings as everybody else. And it turned into revenue.
Yes.
It's like there's that kind of repeatability baked into the business.
So this is the number one, right? Yeah. Number two, you then, you know, once you agree with this, once you kind of look at the business, like, wait a minute, you know, these guys are right. There's some structure here. Then you want to create some kind of a representation of it that is not sitting only in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah? And the place where you're going to do it is going to be a spreadsheet. Like in all cases.
Yeah.
I have not seen anyone do it differently. Let me say it like this, right? So what you're going to be doing in a spreadsheet is you're going to be putting in the different volume steps. You're going to be calculating the conversion rates. You're going to be wrestling over, oh, should it be funnel conversion rates? Should it be cohort based? You know, how should this whole thing, you know, freaking work out? You will settle on something and then you take that. You will need to figure out how your sales cycle are distributed. So you basically, instead of saying, okay, we have 45 days on average sales cycles, which might be true, but it doesn't mean that 100 opportunities will close, you know, after conversion rate 45 days later. It's usually a distribution. You have some things closing faster, then you have the middle, the heavy middle going to be the 45 days, and then stuff closing later, right? So all of that stuff you need to kind of build out. What you then can do with it is you can take it and pull it forward. That's the kind of interesting piece, right? So not only, you know, revenue modeling up until today, but then you can do baseline modeling going forward and kind of do some tweaks on that, right? Great. Yeah. Now you have that in place. You will probably will be a revenue operations person kind of doing it. And what they will be doing is they will be trying and tweaking this model to match what they need to hit in terms of finance.
Yeah.
Right? Finance will give them in EMEA for that team, for that product, we need to hit 579,000 euros and I don't know.
2 cents.
45 cents or something like that. And it's like, okay, yeah, let's build this out. So that's how it usually kind of goes. And that will give you an understanding how your volume steps need to improve. And it will give you an understanding how, in some cases, your processing steps need to improve, right?
Yeah.
Now you have something you can kind of track against.
But do you split it, how deep should you go? Would you split it by the motions, the segments, the market? Like when you've built this in the past, how, because you can get pretty sophisticated.
So,
as well.
And this is one of the limitations. You can really usually only split it in two dimensions. That's usually kind of where it stops. Otherwise you will be hit with too many zeros and, you know, missing data basically, and then messes your whole thing up. There's some really intelligent math in order to take care of that, but I couldn't explain it.
Okay, good.
I'll bring the super head helpful of engineering in
another time.
And then, you know, the other limitation is that when you're operating in a business that has more than two dimensions, which basically everyone kind of has, in order to kind of get all the dimensions in, you sometimes then need to run two models at the same time. Yeah. That guess what? Proves different numbers.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that usually is kind of pretty frustrating. But the other thing is then, you know, you will need to have one person obviously managing that piece, right?
Yeah.
But you will have two dimensions. And I think that can be good enough, right? What you then want to do is you actually want to take all of those dimensions, all of those targets, basically, and import them into your BI system. Yeah. That means I want to hit X amount of MQLs. I want to hit X amount of, you know, conversion rate. And that's then where you're kind of tracking that stuff. So I've seen that work in weird ways in those BI setups, and maybe you have like a smart person who can take care of that for you. But that's, you know, a way to kind of track against that, right? Yeah. And then every day you log in and see how these things are going to get a little bit of an idea here, right? And that's kind of, now we're on the visualization side basically.
But maybe before we go deeper into that, I also remember at one point way back we talked about the process you went through of building the revenue model with the team. One of the things you did was also you tested it against a previous quarter.
In order to figure out the validity of the model itself, which now we've proven this is the way to do it, also with like our customer data, is that's basically what we had to do, right? We had to understand how is those conversion rates calculated, and it's funnel conversion rate, by the way, not cohort conversion rate. And, you know, how does that whole thing work out? Which kind of got us to the point that that's actually the standardized way of how to do it, right? But still, right now you have that thing done. You probably want to visualize it, so you're going to put this somewhere in a spreadsheet. In a BI dashboard. And yeah. I think that's fine. I think you can build these things together, and that's also all kind of fine. I think where it then becomes really iffy is when time passes, and you see you're not hitting the targets that you've kind of put in manually. You're seeing that you're ahead or below of that. And then the big question is, well, where is that going to end?
Yeah.
Right? And the thing then comes out of it, which makes it then super tricky, is like, well, our opportunities are behind, but our revenue is still trending in the right direction. Should we be worried? And the answer is, yes, you should. Yes, you should be very worried. But the thing is, the way this is set up, there's no way of telling that between those two graphs and the BI dashboard or something, there's no way of telling those two graphs that because opportunities are low, you're likely not going to hit the revenue number in 3 or 6 months down the line. I think the planning piece is not, you know, it's very cumbersome. Don't get me wrong. And you have all of those limitations. I think you can overcome it once a year, but reality is you want to have the forecasting, the go-to-market forecasting coming out of it. And you're gonna realize you need to change your plan all the time anyway, right? So a couple of those, it can be done. Don't get me wrong, it can all be done.
Because I was gonna say, like, one of the rituals we ran in this process was then also the monthly business reviews and quarterly.
Yeah.
Because then you could do some of that ad hoc research to actually figure out and match with the revenue model, saying, hey, yeah, actually this is gonna be a problem based on this stage, how long until it hits us. And then you could kind of course correct from there. That was at least my impression, that you had that insight by kind of having the time to run through it.
So the funny thing is, right, whoever we talk to is like, yeah, we do MBOs, yeah, we do QBRs, but really actually no one actually does. No, honestly, no one does. And the reason is it just takes too much time. And yeah. Once it's done, it's kind of outdated.
Yeah.
And all of us are so programmed to only look into the future. So then having to go through like a 2-hour session, 15 days or 3 weeks into the new quarter, talking about, you know, why you missed your target, Mr. VP of sales. And yeah. Sometimes like, I don't give a, you know, yeah, don't yeah. care. So that's why usually people don't end up doing it. And then they kind of don't do that intelligent piece on top that you could do, right? But at the same time, even if you understand why you have been falling flat on those different areas, it's really difficult to calculate all of that stuff out, right? Because you might have a conversion rate that is sliding. You might have some opportunities not being enough. You might have some people not being hired. And you missed $1 million in your Anubis target. What was now the real reason for you missing?
Yeah.
And especially, you might have been above on ACV somewhere and, you know, better than expected conversion rate somewhere else. So how does this whole thing add up to what was actually kind of causing this whole problem to begin with? And you can spend 1 million hours on your MBR trying to prepare it. You're not going to get there, right? Because the answer is you will need to run multiple spreadsheets at the same time comparing the results. And no one is doing that. I mean, it's like,
well, 10,
you know, theoretically
maybe.
And stuff, but like no one does, you know, yeah. even getting close to anything like this, right? But that's how you can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally how you can do it. And has, you know, all of those limitations, I think we touched up on some already, but that is to a degree how we try to fix it back in Falcon. And one other thing, which, you know, is probably kind of one of the reasons why we did that or could do that. I don't know why, but for some reason our CEO like over invested on revenue operations.
Yeah.
Like we had, I mean, I think we said we were like 15 million or 10 million. And I think we had 8 people in revenue operations.
Yeah.
8.
Yeah.
And I can tell you those people weren't super cheap either, right?
No.
And when I look at, you know, out into, you know, how other people are running it, you maybe have 2 people in RevOps by 10 million.
Yeah.
Right? Usually that's kind of the ratio. And we were like crazy over-invested, which, you know, is good and bad for many reasons. But we were like literally sitting there like, what cool shit are we going to do next year?
Yeah.
Right? And and we had the luxury of doing all of that stuff, which then helped us to figure a lot of things out, get them right, and kind of get going.
Yeah. So that's like the DIY solution. Lots of limitations we've gone through here as well. There's the one person with the keys to the sheet and really understanding how it works. Because I remember seeing, by the way, the sheet and you trying to explain to me something in there. I was just like, are we done now? I don't get anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's some problems there. And then we talked about, again, the ability to actually predict what's going to happen when a number is underperforming or overperforming. It just takes a lot of time to do. Running that root cause analysis and getting to the actual cause based on some symptoms you're seeing, really difficult to do.
Yes. And so this is kind of the message here today, though. It's it can all be done.
Yeah.
Right? It can all be done. You just need to live with the limitations and or with the additional money you would need to spend in order to kind of get this done.
Yeah. And I think especially in the environment we're living in today, with efficiency being the focus and building a durable business, this is absolutely critical to achieve.
Yes.
And I think you'll see a lot of companies make it or break it on the back of figuring this stuff out, how their business actually works. And I also think time is running out for a lot of folks. We talked about BI. It takes you, I mean, probably a year to get into shape.
Yeah, I think the bigger, broader picture here actually is you as an organization, if you're struggling for whatever reason, and you're still blaming sales, then something is broken in how you look at the organization.
Yeah.
I think that's the much bigger thing. Are you going to achieve that by an army of, you know, spreadsheet wielders or by some data scientists in BI or whatever? I'm not sure how you're going to kind of get there necessarily. It might be different for all the different organizations out there. But you will have to detach yourself from that being the problem area. And then, you know, once you broaden your view, and I can promise you that. So, I mean, we've seen this now a couple of times. We've consulted people and doing it themselves. You know, we gave them the spreadsheets and so forth. And And guess who's now a customer? You know, yeah. It's like we've seen this all the time, because once you broaden out, once you realize, hey, it's this whole thing here,
yeah.
And once you see all the things that can go wrong and that need fixing, then I think number one, what happens is you feel less like your hands are tied.
Yeah,
it's like CAC payback is going up. We can't do anything.
Yeah.
Right, you feel more like you're in control. Yeah, we can do things now because we're seeing them. And number two, I think, and this is for all the paranoid CEOs out there, which I know are plenty of. You can sleep a little bit better at night.
Yeah,
right? Kind of. Those are probably the
unless of the kids, they're
unless of the kids. But yeah, that's it. I think we kind of unpacked what visibility means in the go-to-market today. Drilled a little bit into kind of the different aspects and what we believe. And some of that is clearly our Groblox perspective. Also, what we believe true visibility actually means for CROs and revenue operations leaders, and how kind of they're seeing it. And then we kind of gave a fairly straightforward, difficult,
yeah.
You know, not easy, doable and stuff, way to try and, work yourself through that and try and claw some of that visibility back.
And by the way, if you're, now you got a hint that this is also what we do. If you're curious, you can go and check it out on Groblox.com. Yeah. Reach out to Tony or me on LinkedIn. Probably Tony is better. Otherwise, I'll just give the marketing spiel. And we'd be happy to tell you a bit more.
That's it. Thanks, Michael.
Strong CTA.
Strong.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Bye.